Where's my script? Oh, was that you that gave me the introduction music? Oh, it's nice and bright blue. Morning, everybody. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. Thank you, Dave. I am seriously going to have him just come up here and introduce me one of these days. I mean, give the introduction. All right, Romans chapter 15. Appreciative for the opportunity to assemble with the saints today, and thankful for the stewardship of the Lord's Supper. You know, the Kendall has some really good thoughts. Some of those from the scripture. You know, the more he gets up here and does it, the more you're going to be able to connect all those things with him. But you know, when the king is there, the priests are never dismissed, right? Guys, do I have a king that's alive? So the service is continually before the Lord. You did a really good job, Kendall, in bringing that out. And then, Nolan, the stuff you hit on mindset is so real. Like, that is where this is at. And the Lord has given us a clean conscience and given us the opportunity so that we can serve Him, you know, in that. So, all right, Romans chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. This morning we're really keying in on kind of verses 7 and following. Romans 15, beginning in verse 1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell upon me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us, to the glory of God. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises given to the fathers. And for the Gentiles, to glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise Him. And again Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who rises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we are super thankful, Father, that you have called us out of the world into your kingdom, that you have delivered us, transferred us into your marvelous light. Lord, that you have placed each one of us as members in your body, just as you desire. Lord, through this process of us learning to be one, you are perfecting us, Lord, and preparing our inner man for that body of glory. You're preparing us for our eternal home in fellowship with you forever. And so we're thankful, Father, for the opportunities to live by faith and to apply that, Lord, in the inner workings that we have with one another. I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate it in a truthful way and that's consistent with your scriptures. And Lord, that each of us could really lock in and commit and do our part, Father, that you may be glorified as we with one voice praise you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I noticed this morning, too, for some reason, there seems like a little extra competition with the kids' voices, the kids crying a little bit. And that, guys, I'll just say this, I'm thankful. I'd much rather have that than have no kids, wouldn't you guys? You ever been into some of these congregations that all there is older people and they're dying out? Not that we don't like older people. I love you all. But it is good that there will be somebody there to continue to carry the torch. Amen? So I'm thankful. I mean, it's great to keep your kids under control and, you know, have some wisdom when to take them out, etc. But, man, I'm thankful they're here. And I hope everybody's attitude is that way. All right, Romans chapter 15. Just some things we've talked about. God gives perseverance and encouragement. You know, I don't think I need to belabor this point. I've hit it the last few weeks, but man, it is a long race. This race, the best way I can explain it, you know, I always was a long distance, I was, emphasis on the was, a long distance runner. And I was a pretty good long distance runner. Man, sometimes long distance, they just hurt. I mean, there's no other way. Like, you're in pain. And your ability to push through pain really probably determines how good you're going to be. But the way I think about the race of life, this isn't like just a marathon or even an ultra marathon. Like, it is an ultra marathon. But then there's like high intensity intervals thrown in the middle of that. So you're sitting there, you're on the long run, right? And then all of a sudden, man, it's just like high intensity impact, like get your heart rate jacked up, and you have to keep going through those things. I don't think I need to belabor that point. I think we understand. Hey, that's life. It's an intense spiritual war, okay, with a supernatural enemy. And so it's going to require supernatural strength. We just talked last time about spiritual supermen and wonder women. And that only can come from God. But it does require our participation. Okay, the way God has us, intentionally. Okay? It's not going to just be a miraculous zap without us participating. If so, we would never come to know God. We'd never come to know His character. And we'd never get to be what Nolan was talking about, to be changed into that character. And so we're thankful for that participation, the way God has this set up. You know, the bottom line, guys, God wants us with one voice to be able to glorify Him, to be of the same mind. And we talk about that. That's only going to happen when we read the same book, having the same purpose. And that purpose is to glorify God. It's interesting. On, I think, Thursday night, we had Dave and Jeremiah over, and we're roasting cheese around a little fire pit in the back. And they're... Usually high school football games in town are Friday nights, right? But I knew there was a game going on Thursday night because, like, we could hear the band. And that's, what, a good 2 miles away from Dela Stadium, our house is? More than 2 miles. So, and we could hear it, like, loud and clear. And I was just thinking, this band that was together, it was like one voice that gave volume that we could hear it miles away. And I was considering, you know, thinking about it in reference to what God wants from us. When we glorify Him with one voice, when we are united, like, that's when the world hears the message. Like, doesn't Jesus say that in John 17, His prayer for unity? His prayer for unity is so that as we're unified, the world may believe that God sent Him. It's great, guys, individually for us, and actually the only way is for us individually to be doing our part and being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. But it's also essential that we are able to do this together. As a matter of fact, I'll challenge you a little bit. If you're not able to do it together, you have to take a second look at yourself. Are you really being conformed to the image of Christ? Like, go with me real quick to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think all of us know verse 17, right? Like, this is preached around here and should be. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, we know this. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Man, how amazing it is to be a new creature and to see yourself the way God sees you. And we preach on that, and that's great. But I want you to notice, like, 17 follows verse 16. Verse 16 says, therefore from now on we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. This isn't really about just seeing yourself this way. This actually has more to do with about seeing your brother or sister in Christ this way. Not recognize them according to the flesh. And so this is to see them as new creatures whom God has plugged into His body. You know, aren't you thankful, guys, for what God tells you about you personally? Like what Nolan was talking about, to actually be able to wake up and, you know, have a fresh start, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, and look in the mirror and have a clean conscience. And aren't you thankful for that at a personal level? But doesn't it make sense that we do the same for our brother or sister? Like, that's what this context is, right? To recognize each other the way, so that we can work together. So the context here, Romans 14 and Romans 15. Romans 14 began with these words: now accept the one who's weak in faith. Oh, by the way, not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. We're not accepting him to be condescending towards him. Okay? We're accepting him as weak in faith to actually recognize this is somebody in this growth process who's God's plugged in. Okay, and so Romans 15, what the passage we read today, go back to verse chapter 6, Romans 15, verse 7, excuse me, wherefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. See, the strong aren't supposed to look down on the weak, and the weak aren't to regard with contempt the strong. We're supposed to accept one another. And we're doing this for the glory of God. I'm not sure where I'm at in my notes, so I'm just going to... I want you to consider with me for a second. Big picture. When you're... As parents, okay, and you have kids, and you know if you have multiple children, sometimes don't you just say, like, you got to overlook whatever the other one's immaturity is. Like, overlook that. Get along. Figure out a way to get along. Yeah, they're being a little immature. Your younger one, or yeah, the older one's being a little bossy, right? But like, figure it out and get along. Like, make it work. Hey, don't we even sometimes maybe tell the kids, like, hey, you know, mom's not feeling so good today, so like, hey, be extra nice, be extra good, be like, we're considering the need of somebody else, right? And saying, hey, let's make this work. So scripturally speaking, in the body of Christ, guys, do you think we're going to need to do that? Like, maybe somebody isn't feeling so good spiritually today. Can you be extra nice to them? Accept one another is what the scripture is for the glory of God. You know, in context, Romans 15 isn't really talking about sin issues, it's talking about matters of conscience. But I'm going to extend that concept a little bit to people struggling to overcome sin. Now, I want you to consider, like, where people are at in this process and the way you're going to deal with them. And are you going to finish them off? Or are you going to help him out? I still like this verse of prophecy of Jesus. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out. Like, Jesus didn't come to finish people off. He came to help us make it. Amen? He wants us to make it. So I hope we can help others make it. I gave an example last week. I'll just hit it real quick when I was closing, you know, of me. You know, a year and a half ago, I was pretty physically fit, and now I'm not. And, you know, the situation with my Achilles tendons and just not being able to work out, and then that discouraged me, and I just, you know, we found some of those things that I really enjoyed indulging in, you know, the Dairy Queen blizzards and that kind of stuff. And, you know, but if you didn't know my situation, you know, and I mentioned even one of the young gals in the Philippines says, wow, Mr. Wilson, like, you really need to go on a diet. You know, they, like, okay, thanks for being straight with me, you know. But, you know, if you don't know my situation, you could be like, wow, like, what's Luke up to, right? But knowing my situation, you might actually, you at least understand why I'm in that position a little bit, and you are going to come at it from a spot to actually maybe try to help me. Instead of like, wow, you really need to get in shape. Okay? Does that make sense from a physical standpoint? Now, I want you to think about this spiritually. What if I had a spiritual injury? Would you even think about that? Or would you just, come on, Luke, toughen up. Okay? What if there's a problem in overcoming sin? Okay, would you guys think less of me? Oh, come on. Do you understand what, like, sometimes to understand where somebody is coming from, the goal is to help them make it. Think about them. Consider it. You know, I'll just ask you guys a serious question. Have you ever come to the Assembly of the Saints where you come into this place and you're, like, roughed up? beat up, the world's trampled on you, and you come in here and, like, what do you need in that time? You know, I'm a brother, it's just like, man, you don't look like you're doing so good. Is that what you need? I mean, maybe if, you know, hey, are you doing okay? You know, that what I'm saying is there's a difference, isn't there? Don't you want somebody, like, you yourself, want somebody that's willing to help you? So can we do the same for somebody else? You know, honestly, I think it comes down to relationship. If you have a relationship with somebody and you care about them, you can accept them and encourage them. I want to be, you know, and if you don't have a relationship with them, let's just say this, can you give somebody the benefit of the doubt? Like, do you think people actually get immersed into Christ with the intent of failing? Now, there are some people that go bad. The Scripture talks about that. Okay? But I don't think people get into this with the intent of failure. People get into this and they stay in this because they actually want to make it. So let's help each other make it. Like, give the benefit of the doubt. Like, this person actually wants to make it to heaven. In all honesty, guys, I'm not worried about where you've been or even where you are now, as long as you're following the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Like, that next step up, what is that? And the example of Romans 15 is Christ accepting us. Wherefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. So, you just got to ask yourself this question. When does Christ accept you? When you're perfect? When did Christ lay down His life for you? After you were fully obedient to Him? Like, He did it first, right? And that's the context. The reproaches of those who reproached the Father fell on Jesus. He bore our sins. And He did this for the Father's glory. Matter of fact, at the prophecy from Isaiah chapter 53, there's a phrase in there. I don't know if this ever hit you, but it says, the Lord was pleased to crush Him. Like, it pleased the Father that Jesus took our sins on Him. Like, it pleased the Father for Jesus to be crushed on our behalf. Do you think it pleased the Father when we do that for somebody else, a brother or sister? We take one for them? That's the context here of Romans 15. I personally, guys, at a personal level, I am so thankful for Christ's mercy and grace. So, that attitude of gratitude, wouldn't that be strange if I tell God how thankful I am for that, but then I'm not willing to extend it to somebody else? Context. Talking about Jew and Gentile. This whole next section, verses 8 through 12. Talking about Jew and Gentile. Remember, the Roman church is made up of both Jewish and Gentile Christians. And he says, Christ has become a servant to the circumcision. That's to the Jews on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers. Okay, so Jesus is a servant for the Jews. And He's also a servant for the Gentiles in order to glorify God for His mercy. So He is to the Jews for God's word to be fulfilled of what He had said in the Old Testament. And He is to the Gentiles also to demonstrate God's mercy, which also He talks about in the Old Testament. That's what that next section is about. I'm not going to spend too much time on that. But I do want you to consider, can you imagine some of the challenges for unity in that congregation? Like, just think about how difficult it was for the Apostle Peter to even go talk to Cornelius. And it's like what God had to do. Then you see the leadership of the church. Like, what they had to go through before they were willing to recognize, hey, God really has accepted the Gentiles in. So you have Jews, totally different background. Gentile, totally different background. Can you imagine the Jews kind of wanting to put down the law on all these Gentiles coming in? Man, remind me of the Church of Christ a little bit. You know, we got to do this. This is like, there's a mentality that would be legalistic, wanting to apply to people that, guys, let's just put it this way, hadn't been churched. You know what I like about this congregation? There's a whole lot of people, like, we were completely pagan. We weren't church. And I like it because it keeps the traditionalism a little bit less. Like, where we came from, we weren't churchy people. I like that. But some of us were, and now there's a challenge sometimes because some of us, man, we want, like, this is the way you need to. Hey, careful. We talked about that in Romans 14, matters of conscience. But what I want you to notice a couple things here. Paul reminds them through the Scripture. Remember, perseverance and encouragement through the Scriptures. Paul reminds them through the Scriptures that God had a plan to reconcile both Jews and Gentiles to Himself. In Ephesians, we don't have time to go there, but Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 18 is a beautiful picture where Paul talks about God's plan to bring Jew and Gentile into one man. As they're reconciled to God, they're reconciled to each other. By the way, guys, that's the key, isn't it? The key from John 17, we got to ourselves be being changed to the glory of Jesus Christ. That brings about unity. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, when we're reconciled to God, that's how we get reconciled to each other. Like, we do need to each individually be committed to this for us to be able to grow together. And then as a result of that, then we are a part of God's ongoing work of reconciliation. Because that's, like I said before, that's what makes where the message is heard by the world. Like, yeah, we wronged each other, and guess what? We forgave each other. Wow, this person started there and look at the change in their life. Like, how did that happen? I want to be a part of that. Who wants to be a part of a congregation? And please, I'm not going to have time to preach on this thing. We are not talking about condoning sin. We are not talking about changing the standard of Christ. We are talking about the process and helping people get there. Who wants to be a part of a congregation that you walk in and the first thing is you get is a bunch of rules of what you have to do and aren't allowed to do? But man, somebody on the outside can look and see, I knew that person where they were, and 5 years later, wow, like what happened? Like, that's who we want to be a part of, and that's the way that God has this set up. And I'll just say this, if you struggle with this, because in my, there are times in my mind I have to work through stuff. So, like, working jobs sometimes, there's this verse that just always stuck with me, like, do it for the Lord rather than for men. Because sometimes, guys, I gotta tell you, like, I'm a person who is inclined, I want to do my best. But sometimes my first thought is like, this boss, this company, this what, they don't deserve my best. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, this is my, it's real. They don't deserve my best. And then I like come back and like, okay, do it for the Lord. The Lord deserves my best. Okay, Luke, give my best because the Lord deserves it. Well, in reference to Romans 15, like if I want to look at this from a worldly perspective, I can look at any one of you and say like, yeah, but you don't really deserve. Let's go back to the sibling example. Okay? When siblings are fighting a little bit, can they make a pretty good case about why the other one doesn't deserve? Okay. In the body of Christ, guys, can we make a pretty good case about why the other one maybe doesn't deserve our best? That's not what it's about, though, is it? When you come back to this, we do it because it glorifies God. And He deserves our best. Amen? So, you know, when we can forgive when we've been wronged, when we can overlook somebody's fault for their spiritual benefit, when we can extend a hand to help somebody up, when we can be united, this shows to the world God's working in us. And the final part of this, I love the words here. Verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The prayer is that the God of hope will fill us with all joy and peace. I want you to notice God's title here. Sometimes it'd be fun, just go through like the different ways that God is described. The God of all comforts, right? Here it's the God of hope. Like, just think about that for a second. One of the things from Ephesians chapter 2, when Paul was talking about the Gentile world before Christ, he said, having no hope and without God in this world. Where there is no God, there's no hope. And but I like this picture here. The God of hope. You know, if you're outside of Christ, there's no hope in life and there's no hope in death. I wonder why more people don't commit suicide. Lots do, but because there's no hope in death either. That's why. There's no hope anywhere apart from God. But with God, there's always hope. And it's not like like the world uses, you know, I hope. It's like a hope that's real and sure. Like, you're certain it's going to happen down the road. The Old Testament, guys, is filled with accounts of God's deliverance and victory. You know, they're written, according to earlier in Romans 15, these are written for our instruction, right? To the perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. But one of the things that makes the Bible so appealing, you read your Bible to your kids, right? And they start getting into some of these things, and David and Goliath, and why are all those Old Testament examples, like, those are interesting. Like, they're amazing things. Why? Because seemingly hopeless situation. Like, there's a common theme. Like, it doesn't seem possible that it's going to work out. And God always brings about this great deliverance and victory. Because that's not about David and Goliath. That's about you and me and the Goliaths we face. One of my favorites, the example of the Aramean king. You know, he sends armies and surrounds the city of Dothan where Elisha's staying. And Elisha's servant, like, wakes up in the morning and sees the city surrounding. He's like, we're in big trouble. Alas, alas, my master, what are we going to do? And Elisha comes back and says, do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And he prays that his eyes will be open and he can see that. And like, do you understand the God of hope? Like, open your spiritual eyes, guys, and see the armies of heaven that are fighting with us. Sometimes you can feel a little bit alone. The God of hope, that He is with us. And we know the rest of the story. God struck the army with blindness. And God's power. There's always hope. And the second thing I know here, the God of hope is going to fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I like that phrase, in believing. He's not talking about circumstantial joy and circumstantial peace. Hey, sometimes, guys, life just stinks. Matter of fact, a lot of times, this life on this planet, in this world, like, you don't have to live super long if you get serious at all to realize this place stinks. But it's not about the circumstantial, like, if you're trying to go for circumstantial joy and circumstantial peace, like, hey, where does hedonism lead to? Hey, let's have fun until you die, like, spiritually, inside, in every which way. Destroys you. You know, peace. Oh, if everybody could just live together in harmony. And the guys that are selling it, the guys that are going to kill you all that were suckers for it. That's the way it works. I mean, just look at the UN. Beautiful example, right? It doesn't work. So when you look at this from the world, if you're looking at this from a circumstantial standpoint, you are never going to have joy and peace. Or it's going to... You understand what I'm saying? Only when the moment feels good. That's not what he's talking about. He says joy and peace in believing. That comes from believing in God. It's from faith. You can have joy in the midst of anything and everything. You guys know the verses. James 1. Consider it all joy, my brethren. Right? When you encounter various trials. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Talking about rejoicing in those trials, because the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is tested. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice always, right? Again, I say rejoice. Kendall actually read one today. Rejoice always. Like, those verses are in there. It's joy through faith. What about peace? Go with me to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Flip forward to John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world. The peace that comes through believing in God. In this same way, guys, we can abound in hope. Like, How does the story end? I think if you take a snapshot at any given moment, things can look pretty hopeless. But you get to the end. How's it end? I think the answer to the bulletin question from last week, you know, the endurance of Job, right? And I've seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. Like, in the middle of Job, does the Lord look like He's full of compassion and merciful? But you get to the end of it, the Lord's full of compassion and He's merciful. Okay. Guys, you read the back of the book? I'll just let your mind just go down this track for just 30 seconds. Politics. You feel a lot of hope? It's pretty discouraging. Matter of fact, it kind of looks like the beast from Revelation chapter 13 that everybody's afraid of. Who can wage war with the beast? And everybody's cowering in front. Hey guys, I read the back of the book. You know what happens to the beast? Tossed in the lake of fire. We win. Back of the book says. Yeah, go back to Romans 15. I'm really closing up here, but I want you to notice one other thing that jumped out at me. I think about the power. We talk about the power of the Spirit in our lives, right? The power of the Spirit to, you know, He intercedes for us in our prayers, groanings too deep for words. The power of the Spirit in our lives to overcome sin, to be strengthened with power in our inner man. Do you know what? Notice this in Romans 15, verse 13, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a picture of Christians of just overflowing with hope. Like, people see the hope, like, pouring out of us. We're abounding with hope. Why is that? It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Guys, there's a way that God wants us to live our lives. It's hopeful. We know what the end is. Don't let the moment drag you down and bog you down. See the end. It's going to require the power of the Holy Spirit to help you do that. Do you think the world... Do you think you can get the attention of the world if you're hopeful? Like, really? Abounding in hope? Like, if the way you live your life every day, you're just filled, overflowing with the hope of heaven, with the hope of Christ's return, with the hope that you're going to be glorious. Like, it impacts your attitude, doesn't it? And the world can't help but notice. It's going to take power of the Holy Spirit. We already talked about the Scriptures in this. I want to encourage you guys. That's a long race. Tense spiritual war. Yeah, sometimes getting along with each other in the body of Christ has its challenges. All of this, one voice, the glory of God. Whether anybody else deserves it or not, God does. Let's do this for His glory, His honor. And the world will notice. And God will be glorified through His people. Let's stand. Let's pray. We thank You, Lord, for hope that's real and sure. Father, sometimes in the moment, things can be pretty discouraging. But when we look to the end, really when we look up, as Brother Nolan was talking about, that it changes our perspective and we're filled with hope. We're thankful for the power of Your Spirit in our lives, Lord. Sometimes we just got to come back and drink deep from those rivers of living water so that we can live our lives with hope. Lord, we don't know, and you haven't asked us to know about every single person that's here, which ones are going to make it, which ones aren't. Like, that's not... We know, Lord, You're going to sort all that out, and You know. But You do want us to see the church the way that You see it. Your kingdom, Your bride, consisting of those who overcome. Now, we want to help each other make it. We're thankful for the exhortation, the encouragement here towards the end of the book of Romans. All this faith that we have had does come, and that we've seen built through this book, the obedience of faith among the Gentiles, where this faith has ramifications, Lord, within the body. The way that we see each other, the way that we work through things together, the way that with one voice we can glorify you. We're just appreciative for the example of Christ, what he's done for us, what he continues to do. It is in his glorious name that we pray. Amen.